Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. And now our guest today is Zach Coleman of Creatative, and he owns a sports digital branding agency. And today we're going to be discussing mindset as well as processes that Zachary has uses within his agency. Now, to give you a little background on Zach, so at Creatative, they work directly with athletes and athletic companies to leverage their business mindset using their brand build process, which we are going to be delving into in just a few minutes. And they create customized branding, public relations, and web strategies so they can excel in their sports, business, and beyond. So they operate their business using, they operate their business just like a sports team. So every member of their team has a role to play in the brand build process, which is super cool. So thanks so much for joining us today, Zach.
Thank you for having me on.
So let's delve into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell all the listeners, where are you tuning in from today?
I am in Gilbert, Arizona.
That's awesome. I love Arizona. And so tell us, what really gets you out of bed in the morning? What motivates and inspires you?
Well, my family, of course. Besides that, you know, to me, business, you know, we can get a little bit further when we talk about history, but to me, business has this aspect of ever changing. And so I think what really gets me up in the morning are the challenges, always do better, learn from challenges, learning from failures, and trying to overcome those challenges and failures.
I love that. Yeah. And we're going to be delving into mindset. So yeah, we can definitely elaborate on that. And I love talking about that topic.
Yeah, me too.
It's perfect. And then, so tell us, how did you get into digital marketing?
Well, I got my bachelor's of science in graphic design, or visual communications is what we really like to call it, back 11 years ago.
That's awesome.
From Arizona State University. And back then I was, and I still am a little bit, but I was really, really into, you know, sports. My dad was an NFL player for a while. I grew up with sports.
Oh, cool.
And one thing that we learned while I was at Arizona State, and one of the reasons I loved their program so much, was because it was really research-based. It was less so, hey, open a program, you know, do this, this, and this. It was all hand cut out stuff, learn the design eye, you know, you had to get an upper division, and they were like, you're on your own. You learn all the programs yourself. We have these projects, you have to do all the research behind it. And that dynamic really put a sense into me of how important research mentality is when it comes to not just business, but back then, you know, it was much more about, oh, you know, the importance of the psychology of design, the importance of psychology of, you know, consistency and brand language and stuff like that. And so that's what really got me into, you know, the starting aspects of digital. And as I, you know, started my career and moved up in the ranks, worked for the Phoenix Suns, working for large organizations like Pearson, things of that nature. Mm-hmm. I just got to the point where I had the Goldilocks syndrome. I had a few bosses at my latest job that I had, you know, 5-6 years ago. And it was one of those situations where I had a really great boss. I had a okay boss. And then I had a boss that just wasn't, you know, didn't really fit my mojo. And I learned that, hey, you know, the corporate world is very, you can find your dream job you can find your dream career, but it's still hard to find your dream job because it really does have to do with the values of the employees and the people you work with. And I was doing freelance for a while back then, and I eventually went out on my own. And as I first started to grow my agency, I saw the impact of not just design and branding, but how everything kind of works together. How having a great website, having great conversions, having great copy, having great, not just social media following, but having, you know, valued prospects and valued fans within those platforms, finding, and not just that, from an SEO side and a PPC side, I saw how a lot of those different lead gen situations worked well together. And we are getting a lot of clients that were coming in the door that were like, we just need SEO or we just need PPC. And I realized that it wasn't a great solution for me just to say, all right, I'm going to charge you this much and I'm going to do your PPC, or this much and do your SEO, because if their website wasn't very good, then they weren't going to have good user experience. If their branding wasn't very good, their website wasn't going to turn out good. So I realized that these all, you know, the omni-channel marketing approach, and I saw that a lot of these things really had to work well together. But it was also a growing experience for a lot of businesses. I'm in it. I'm in the business, and so I see that, you know, a lot of prospects don't see value until they get past certain pain points in their own business. Mm-hmm. And so I slowly started to integrate these. And yes, I mean, we'll talk about mindset in a little bit. There's the whole premise of, hey, don't do too much in the business because you need to learn certain processes. Mm-hmm. But there's also the situation of niching, where it's like, hey, you need to niche and you need to find a certain, you know, demo that you can really focus a lot of your efforts on. Mm-hmm. And so I knew that, hey, what was more important to me, helping a certain set of individuals or being full service. And so, yes, it's taking a lot longer for my agency to grow because I personally value omnichannel. I value full service in the aspect of, we have certain structures in place. Yeah. And we have to learn certain things, mm-hmm. but I'm okay with that because it's not about how much you make. It's about how much you keep. Right. So it's about building those processes up really effectively with the correct people, the correct situations, and growing to a point where you can market everything, but do it to a certain set of individuals. Because as you know, and most other agency owners know, you'll get to a point where you realize the prospects, they value the end result more than anything. So going mm-hmm. in there, and that's why I have employees that talk to a lot of my prospects, because I'm very technical. So it comes down to, you know, what is their end result? What are they really looking for? And if there's one little kink in that system, like branding, for instance, that they're not very good at, I'm not going to feel like we can provide them the best results. And so we try to do this brand build process to kind of get into that. But that's kind of the basis of how I got into digital marketing. And we started working with athletic companies and athletes because I saw a gap in the industry for athletes not being able to hit those pain points and because they make a lot more money, but then they, unlike, you know, normal business owners who start small and grow and go through those pain points, athletes don't. And they end up thinking they can do a lot of it themselves, or mm-hmm. you know, in with what we do with digital marketing, because of the internet, there's a lot of commodity in people thinking they can do it themselves. And so mm-hmm. I got to a point where I realized, hey, I have to really help I really want to help these players be able to grow their businesses effectively by helping them with the branding and marketing side and these athletic companies. And a lot of that is because I'm very sports oriented. I see that, like you said, with my positioning statement, that we really see a lot of these business owners and a lot of these athletes already have that grit, already have that mindset. Mm-hmm. of gone through failures, gone through certain situations, just in a different aspect. And so we really want to help them leverage that mindset to be able to grow something that they can you know, outside the game, and I'm enjoying it and I love it. And it's definitely taken a lot of time to get to where we want to be, but it's all worth it in the end.
That's so interesting. And then, so were you, did you start off with that was your goal in mind? You wanted to serve the sports industry? Or was that something where you, you know, kind of started broad serving small businesses in general and then kind of niched into that industry?
Yeah, you know, they had, you know, the 80-20 rule. You know, I started off small. You know, I had to take that leap when I left the corporate world. And when I did that, I, you know, had a few freelance gigs to start before I was really able to, you know, I saved up some money. I was able to get the business. I had the freelance, so I was able to, you know, save some money on the side for a couple of years. And I did have a lot of, and I still do have some companies that are in the sports niche. They're longtime clients. And so we do help some of those, but we try our best to say, hey, you know, and that's a lot like how branding is in general. It's yes, you can niche, but every business is going to be different. You know, mm-hmm. We have to find the right terminology. We have to find their customers. We have to find their fan base, and they could be, their brand promises could be completely different than their competitors, no matter what industry they're in. So there are some that we work with still. We tend to look at them and analyze them when we kind of have our prospect calls to see if they'd still be a good fit, if they have that mindset and they have that capabilities and we feel like comfortable working with them, we will. But we let them know off the bat, hey, this isn't 100% what we love to do, but we definitely still can do it. So
gotcha.
It's one of those situations where we will, but for the most part, we tend to do a lot of our marketing efforts, and a lot of our clients we try to bring in now have to be athletes or athletic business owners.
And so what is that mindset that you are looking for in your ideal client?
You know, one thing that I really learned is and that's what's great with being in digital marketing and owning an agency is you kind of build that mindset as you go too, you know, mm-hmm. So your end user tends to kind of be, our prospects tend to have very similar mindsets to us. So a lot of times, most of the companies and businesses that we work with have the mindset of understanding that money equals time, not time equals money. And so we really understand if they come to us and they've done the research already, they've already kind of gone through, you know, they've made sure that they've looked at us and they put their options on the table, and they're at that point in their business where they're like, hey, we trust you. You know, of course there's a little bit more into the cycle than sales cycle than that, but we understand what you're doing. We saw that you do this, this, and this, they're not afraid to spend money to make money, if that makes sense.
Okay. Yeah, that does make sense. Okay. Well, yeah, I want to pick your brain on the topic of mindset a little bit. So why is mindset so important, and how would you describe your own mindset?
Well, I'm not perfect. I don't think anyone is. And I think that, you know, mindset's an ever-growing process.
Yes.
I mean, every day, I think the business owner dilemma, and I have to tell my wife this all the time, is you'll have days where you're just depressed, you know, and it's called the business depression. And it's you'll be very down one day, but then the next day you'll be on top of the world because you're always trying to improve. You're always trying to do better. You're always trying to do this. And there's really no end goal when it comes to business. It's one of those situations where you want to keep growing. And yes, you can settle. Everyone has different forms of success that they look at, put into consideration. But, you know, mindset for me, when I first started out, I thought mindset was something that fake gurus really just kind of push. I really did. It wasn't until I hit the mindset portion of my business where I needed the mindset to know that mindset was effective. And it is very important, because when you're on your downs and you're on your negative aspects, it affects work. It affects the way you talk to your employees. It affects the way you do your outreach. Affects the way you take risks. And I'm seeing as I go through, when I get to a certain level in my business, the difference between a lot of these companies that become really successful and the ones that don't, I'm not going to say it's 100% this, but a large factor of it has to do with mindset, understanding you need to pivot, understanding when you need to, you know, cut your losses at certain things or move a different direction. And
yeah,
I'm going through a lot of that stuff right now myself in the business. And it's one of those things that's scary, but you have to, you know, have the mindset to be able to keep chugging along, keep moving, understand the downtimes and understand the positives and try to get past those humps and understanding failure. I think being able to look at failure and being able to, like I said, I'm not perfect, but you know, be able to look at the failures and be able to move past them and say, what can we learn from this? What can we take away from this? It was good, but grow from it. I mean, even when I look at my business, everyone's so fast paced. Everyone looks at,
yeah,
you know, life and there are a lot of gurus out there like make a million tomorrow. Well, that's not how business works, you know?
No.
And I try to have to tell the prospects that come in and understand that, hey, it's going to take a few months to get you from here to here. If anybody promises you a guarantee in SEO or in PPC, I have to tell them, I'm like, that's not how it works. Great marketing is looking at the statistics and pivoting those statistics to the right direction.
Yeah.
Of what's working and what's not. And it takes sometimes years to do that, you know? And mm-hmm. So I tell them, hey, it's going to take time. It's going to take energy. It's going to take money, you know, but I kind of got off subject a little bit, but yeah, long story short, mindset. I think, you know, every day I have to look down and I have to tell myself that just keep moving along with, you know, and trying to improve myself with mindset, even if it's learning something small new every single day.
Yeah, I love that. It's so important. And like you mentioned before, it's so important to self-critique yourself and see where you can be growing, where you can be cutting your losses, and just taking a really critical view of things. Because yeah, a lot of people can be too proud to self-critique themselves. So I think having that growth mindset is super important.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
All right. So next, I would love to talk about your brand build process that you've implemented within your agency. So what is the brand build process and why is that important?
Like I was saying earlier, I'm a big fan of omnichannel and making sure everything works together. And so we really have three stages and of what we do for most businesses. And you know, stage one is really the branding and brand development. Stage two is the web strategies, the web development, figuring out the channels that will work for you. And then step three is, you know, going into those marketing channels that we feel are going to be best suited for what we've figured out through the branding process and the web, you know, process.
Okay.
There are some clients that come in and they say stuff like, hey, we already have a website. We already have this. And we'll either say, all right, this is good. We can move forward with it. It looks like you did a good job. That's what you did so far. Let's just start right off at step three. Or mm-hmm. We'll say, hey, sorry. Like, we just don't feel like we can effectively give you the results you want with what you have. And so we're going to have to do this, or you're going to have to come back, you know, at a different time. And so when we go through the step one, it's really, and what I really try to push with a lot of my prospects is discovery. You know, it's not about, you can't just come to us and say, hey, I want you to do this, this, and this. Or they may say, oh, this is our customer. This is this, this. And I'm like, well, if you're coming to us, it means that that's not working effectively, what you're doing right mm-hmm. now. So we may need to look back through your customers. We need to go back through and do some audits, things of that nature. So we're really big on, you know, I got my visual communications degree. So I'm really big on being able to explain a business through imagery and through copy. And so we really focus up front on, hey, let's find your brand promises. Let's figure out your fan base, and let's do all that before you even dive into the messaging and the actual design portion. I mean, even something as small as color schemes and branding and brand language is so important, because psychology of colors, there's so many different ways of psychology when it comes to colors and the way copy is written and read. And we really say, hey, that portion right there is going to be pivotal for your conversion rate. If we can get your right target, if we can, you know, figure out your messaging, you'll be able, like you said, niching, you know, we're going to have to figure out who you're talking to and how to talk to them so that you can effectively have a better conversion rate overall. So we like to look at that stuff first. And then we go into step two, which is the web, really the web development and web strategies, is we have to look into not just what the website looks like, but we like to really go through discovery in that phase too, figuring out, going through and doing web comps, doing, you know, wireframing, making sure we have a user flow. So we, before we do anything, we create a huge user flow, not just from an SEO perspective, but from a user perspective. Now that we have your audience, what kind of journey are they going to take on your website? What kind of, to gather the information needed? And we try to really push our clients to understand that even athletes, you know, they have a huge problem with just saying, hey, I just want a website for my stats. And I'm like, well, why? What's the why behind it? Like, why would a fan want to come to your website and see your stats when they can just see that stuff on ESPN or on large sites? I'm like, or they'll say, we're selling shirt. They'll do like 80 different things at once. And I'm like, you know, let's calm down here. Let's kind of take a step back and see which one of these options would be the best solution for you. And let's kind of really focus on that, you know, like e-commerce or crowdfunding or, you know, having a lead gen kind of system if they're doing services, things of that nature. And so we really have to take a step back and say, what kind of things will your fans want to do? How are you influencing them? How are they going to go through your site? So we get all that stuff doing. Preparation is key because it helps not just have us really quote out how much the website's going to really cost from a development standpoint, but it helps us have a roadmap and our clients have a roadmap of understanding, all right, this is going to be the flow of how everything works. And then from there, we're able to kind of step back and say, all right, now that we've done this, we now have an understanding of your fan base, their demographics. Now, it's not all about social media, but even if it was, which channels are going to be best suited for your fan base and what we're trying to do with them? So we're a very big promoter on, it's not the amount of followers you have, it's the amount of quality followers you have. Like, are they your real fan base?
Yeah.
Are they hit within your brand archetype? So we do this whole system at the front of the brand discovery process where we go through, you could call it a social media audit, but it's much more of a brand audit and seeing what's working and what's not from a copy perspective. And that really helps with sponsorship opportunities. It really helps with companies and figuring out what's working for them. And that kind of helps us. It's kind of our roadmap on figuring out which archetype they are and what kind of clients they want to bring in. And that itself helps, you know, blog posts. It helps the way we write on any of our channels. But long story short, we then pick a couple of those channels that we feel is going to be best suited. If it be, you know, for instance, you know, a B2B client might come to us and say, in the sports industry, and their main focus is, you know, their news site. So maybe they're news and sports. And so we say, hey, depending on the point of interest your clients are coming from, Facebook advertisement might not be suited for you because that's more first touch point, not, you know, third touch point or fourth touch point. So maybe we focus on PPC ads and Google ads because that has higher intent for what you're kind of, they're already searching for that. Or if you're trying to build more brand awareness, we may say, all right, let's focus on a couple of your social media channels and build your brand awareness. And so we pick the channels that we feel work best from the objective, you know, discovery that we've gone through those first two stages, and then we develop a strategy around two or three of those channels that we feel suited, depending on their budget, of course. But we kind of take it from that point of view, and then we just do ongoing and helping them. You know, we're a very big component on communication, so ROI focused, channel focused ROI. So we actually take our employees that are suited for each of those platforms. We have you know, I have employees that are focused on, you know, just PPC, for instance, and some of them focus on strictly on SEO, and some of them focus on Facebook advertisement. They get assigned to that person, so they don't just get a project manager, but they have an actual representative that does a lot of the ads and has employees under them that work with it too, that they can set up bi-weekly or monthly meetings with, that we can kind of say, hey, let's go through what's working and what's not working together as we continue to grow your business and we do stuff like that. And that way we can pivot your ad spend effectively. We can work with you and your business effectively to do what you need instead of just leaving it up and letting it run for, you know, weeks on end.
Yeah. Well, that's so interesting. And then, so what changes have you noticed in your agency since you've implemented this process?
It's ever changing. Like we said, you have to pivot. And one of the major things that we've recently done is we've turned the step one and two into more of a project based and left the third stage for talks later. We've seen that a lot of prospects, you know, come into the door and they're very big on, they don't want to do reoccurring. They get really scared with having a reoccurring commitment. So we usually say, Hey, let's do the project for one or two first. So we've switched the stage one and two to a project-based system. And then we've done step three, more of a reoccurring system. But we tell them, hey, we're not even going to talk about that. We're not even going to go into that stuff until we get there.
You work to build the trust with them first.
Yes. We want to build the trust with them first. We want to show them the results that we can give them through the first few stages, first couple of stages. Now, if a client comes to us and they're already at stage three, that's a little bit different, but it's a little bit of a selling cycle. But for the most part, we tend to, what we've seen from it so far is it really helps us weed out the prospects that just aren't ready for that kind of commitment yet, you know?
Oh, okay.
And so it has helped us, long story short, not take on, and that's part of the mindset thing, is you want to help everyone. I want to help everyone, but I had to come to the decision as I've continued to grow my agency that bringing in clients at, you know, $200 a month, who does that pay for? You know, like that doesn't pay for anyone. I mean, that would give one of my employees maybe 2 hours worth of time to work on their accounts. And that's not enough for anybody. And so I usually have to tell clients, hey, you know, this is going to affect you and us. One, it's going to mean we're not going to have as much time to work on your stuff. I mean, of course, a client that's paying us $20,000 a month, we're just going to take more effect and time into their accounts than someone who's paying us. It's just psychology, you know?
Yeah.
And two, it's tended to help us bring more value to clients because it has helped us be able to limit ourselves to 10 to 15 clients and say, hey, this is the amount of clients we're going to have on. And, you know, past that, you know, we're not taking any clients, or we have to weed out the ones that, you know, are no longer fitting our targets. But
it really helped us be able to
continue to grow our processes with our clients, but it's also helped us be able to get out of the everyday grind of continually trying to work for, you know, with making little efforts and little growth in the business, you know? So I think that it's an ever growing process, like I said, but so far it's been, there's been kinks in it. I've had to change a few things in the brand build process, you know, quite a bit as you grow processes and you get better at things.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it in a minute. Processes are ever growing. They're always looking at getting better. There's always ways to improve them. Mm-hmm. But so far so good. I think one of the major things that we really hit a few months ago is we are no longer doing audits for free, you know, competitor analysis and
interesting.
So if a person comes into that stage three and they're like, we need some SEO work, we'll no longer go in and do that for free, because it takes us a lot of time and energy to do it. If we want to do it correctly, We've seen a lot of prospects come to the door and say, hey, we've gotten this audit from this company. We've gotten this audit from this company. And I look at those audits and I'm like, this doesn't do anything. I mean, what is this? This doesn't do anything. It's really just them telling you, you need better speed or you need better this. And I'm like, without going into your competitors and being able to really figure out your gaps and what you need to really do to have effective ROI, you know, they're just trying to sell you. You know, it's just the way life works, but you know.
So you guys are doing more of a comprehensive audit.
Yeah, we do more of a comprehensive audit. There's some clients that we will come in and do, you know, 1/10 of that portion to kind of build trust with them if they really seem like a good fit.
Yep.
For the most part, we have to say, hey, you know, this is how much it's going to cost for an audit. And if you want to move forward with us after that audit, great. If not, you can use this to build your team up. I mean, I'm a really big component on helping companies understand that, hey, there are certain things in your business that you might not need a digital marketing agency for. Mm-hmm. For instance, we had a large blogging sports betting company come to us and they were like, hey, you know, we do PPC in-house, but we want to hire an agency and spend, you know, $20,000 a month for you to hire a writer in every single state to watch every single game to do this. And I'm like, don't you feel like it'd be more effective if you were able to bring those in-house so you can have a couple of those employees doing that instead of hiring an agency $30,000 a month or 40? I mean, I told them it was going to be a lot more than that, but, and hire PPC outbound because that's, and I mean, I have a couple clients now, you know, they do e-commerce and I tell them, hey, you hire an industrial designer in-house is probably better than us designing the products because mm-hmm. it's going to cost you more if you're making that many products. And so I'm a really big component in not just helping clients get to a certain point, but I also want them to get to the point where they can effectively hire certain marketing components in-house because I know how a marketing agency works. A lot of them don't. I mean, I had a client come to me last year and say, oh, I want to be like McDonald's. I want to be able to, you know, hire an agency. And I'm like, I had to sit down with them and tell them, I said, all right, well, you know, you need creative director, you need senior designers, junior designers, you need copywriters, you need content writers, you need SEO specialists, you need, you know, paid specialists. And a digital marketing specialist usually isn't a master of all. So you need to have one that does social media marketing. You have to have one that does this, you have to want to do that. And I just tried to explain to him somewhat of a flow of everything. He thought he could hire one person to do all of it, you know? And yeah. I told him, like, not how it works, man. No. But long story short, yeah, I do my best, even as we continue to grow with clients, say, hey, these are the kinds of people you can hire in-house to kind of help you save money on the overall effectiveness of growing your business. And let us do the stuff that you guys aren't good at. Like, yeah. Let's do the stuff that, so you don't have to focus on, you know, for instance, the SEO or the PPP or something of that nature.
That's really cool. Yeah, that's really interesting. Thanks for sharing, for breaking that down and sharing that with us.
Oh, thank you.
So where do you see Creatative in 5 years' time?
Well, you know, the mindset, it's always shifting, always changing and pivoting. Our goal right now is really... We're slowly seeing ourselves turning into much more of a business development firm and less so a marketing firm. There's a lot of components within business that really relate to marketing. They're not the same thing, but there are a lot of things that really work together. And a lot of athletes that we work with, they don't understand the business. They might have the mindset. So there's certain things that we may need to help them with that regular businesses don't need help with. And a lot mm-hmm. of that is, you know, helping them set up certain things on their hosting platform or some IT stuff. We don't do IT. So, but helping them, you know, set up payment processors or, you know, making sure that certain things are connected effectively, making sure they understand conversion rate, making sure they understand the prices of their products, things of that nature. So, we've tended to see that being in branding, doing the whole brand build process, a lot of it kind of is somewhat related to business. And so we're slowly turning into much more of a strategy firm and less so of a marketing firm. So the brand build process tends to be a lot more strategy up front. So, you know, that tends to be, you know, kind of where we're heading. And I think our overall goal is just to help. Our goal is to help, you know, a thousand athletes / business owners kind of, you know, take it to that next step. And we're slowly developing a course. And right now we're in the process of developing a course for, you know, athletes with the whole nail situation going on, to kind of help them get a better sense of leveraging their business mindset as an athlete, of that nature. And, you know, 10 years time, we're hoping to have probably very similar to you. We're hoping to have a software where we can help these athletes pivot and find, you know, positive sponsorships / opportunities that won't just give them money, but help them actually grow their business.
That's so interesting. That's really cool. And I love the goal of helping 1,000 athletes to grow as well. I think that's a really cool goal.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
The Win Without Pitching Manifesto is definitely one of my favorite books.
Interesting. So the last podcast guest recommended that one as well. So yeah, that's awesome.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah.
Without pitching. I just read another one. Let me look at it. I'm a part of a huge, I don't know if you've ever heard of EO, but I'm part of EO, and it's like a business accelerator kind of system around the country. And
okay.
One of the books that I got from them was I don't know if I'm going to be able to find it in time. It's podcast. I'm a very podcast oriented person.
The Ryan Stueman podcast is really good too. If you're interested in sales and closing, the Hardcore Closer podcast.
Yeah.
If you like podcasts, definitely check that one out.
Okay, cool. Yeah, definitely will. Send it to me. Send it to me after the call and I'll look into it.
Yeah, definitely.
I just read a book about, honestly, it was about money, and it was, I can't think of it off the top of my head, unfortunately. Maybe I'll send it to you after the call once I find it. But it really goes into the psyche of getting people understanding with that mindset that money's not a bad thing. And I think that a lot of people really push into money and thinking, oh, people that make $1 million or multi-million dollars, they're bad people because they make so much money. Mm-hmm. When this book really puts into the mindset of, you can't look at money as a negative thing. I mean, yes, if you want to help people, you need money. If you want to go into nonprofits, you need money. If you want to grow business, you're going to need money. So it really help me kind of put myself in the mindset of understanding that it's not bad to ask for what I'm worth, because that's what I'm worth. And so it kind of helped with that. And so I'll send it to you after the call.
Yeah. That'd be awesome. And I'll put that in the show notes as well.
All right. Perfect.
And then what does your morning routine look like?
Well, with a 3-year-old and a new baby on the way, it's kind of, getting a little chaotic. I've had to learn to embrace the chaoticness, because I am a very, you know, I try to stick with routine, but
yeah,
normally I used to be an afternoon workout person, but I've tended to have to push that to mornings now that I'm waking up at 4:05 in the morning because of my children. But I tend to wake up and I really focus on getting my, I'm very big on, I have a problem with anxiety. It's one of my things that I continue to work on is my anxiety. And so I tend to really focus heavily on the things that are in my control. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, business is not always 100% in your control. So to be able to offset that, I have to focus on things that are in my control. So I focus on my workout routine. It's also free research for me, because I work with athletic businesses. And so that's kind of the beauty of it. And so I focus on my morning routine, my workouts, and then I focus on, you know, making myself a good breakfast, depending on what my macros are for the day, and, and my food intake, and my working out is definitely the two things that I feel like I 100% have in my control. And I'm really starting to try to introduce meditation a lot more into my routine as well. And I'm
trying
to
do that
more so at night, I think. Yeah. The kids are asleep and my wife kind of pushes me a little bit and I tell her, hey, you're my golden star for kind of helping me keep on track with my meditation. But I'm starting to add that in there. And then in the morning, I focus a lot and I start the day off. I think the first things I do, I think being an SEO, I tend to look at, you know, go through and make sure I check all the stats of my clients and all that nifty stuff first and foremost from an SEO perspective. Mm-hmm. And do a little article reading on things in business and things that are going on in the industry of sports and in business. And then I usually get into the management side and start working through some of the to-dos that I have with my employees.
Okay, interesting. So I just had a podcast guest on and she said something that really stuck with me and I wanted to share it with you because it might be beneficial. But she said, I just asked her a question about what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career. And she said, control your controllables. And I don't know why that just stuck with me so much because it's like in business, like it's so easy to get anxious about things that you don't necessarily always have control over. And I don't know why that just stuck with me. And it's something I think about a lot.
I really like that. And I think that goes with what you said. I'll say me and my wife, because of the new child on the way and because of everything going on, we've had to pivot. I've had to get away from working in an office and she has continued to work from home. And so we had to buy a bigger house. So we had room for everyone.
Yeah.
And that in itself was a huge cycle, but we've been in the new house for about 2 months now. And I've been trying to get back on my routine, my control, my controllables. And mm-hmm. It does. You can kind of see yourself getting to a point where you're somewhat spiraling downward trend of spiraling if you don't effectively take the things that are in your control. So I really like that. I'm definitely going to take that into some guidance. So tell her thank you.
Yes, I will let her know. And then next question, is there a CEO that you follow or study?
You know, I love Christo. A lot of it tends to be because he's real, he's down to earth. And so he's not afraid to tell you, hey, yeah, we're doing this stuff because it helps make the business money, but he's also able to, you know, help and teach people things. And I think he's a really good example of anyone in any industry within the design and the digital marketing space and helping them kind of get past certain things and try to move forward. So I try to use his teachings a lot when it comes to my employees and learning certain things.
Okay, interesting. And what is your favorite online tool?
That one's a hard one as a business owner. I feel like I'm always trying new things, trying more effective things.
There's a million of them.
And as I continue to grow, I have web developers now, so, you know, on staff. So I tend to say, do we really need this tool? And when we could just do something more manual, I think that it's not really a tool. It's a combination of tools that you can find. And I'm always shifting to something that's of course going to, you know, save a little bit on the expenses, but also is going to have more value for us. Mm-hmm. And we're actually in the process right now. And I think that it is going to be my favorite tool moving forward is HoneyBook. And the reason I do so is because right now we have like Acuity, we have all these different tools and we're trying to bring more value to our clients with doing better with proposals and doing better with some of these offers that we give out. And so far with all the research I've done, HoneyBook is going to save us a lot of time and energy on creating those. I'm a designer at heart, so I tend to do all my proposals right now in design and all that stuff. So I think it's really going to help in that process. So that's I think that's going to be my tool. But if I were to say right now, what is my favorite tool that I'm using? And I have to just say QuickBooks, just because, you know, it saves me so much time and energy on reoccurring payments and making sure I can check the budget every month and the expenses and things of that nature. So I'd probably have to go with QuickBooks.
Okay, great. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
Career or business?
Let's say
career or business.
Let's say business.
A business, yes. That one's a tough one. I haven't really thought about that question. I would honestly have to say investing. And what I mean by investing, I'm not saying investing in Bitcoin or investing in other things. I'm talking about investing in your business, because as I'm a very frugal human being. And so I tend to, look at the money that comes in and I tend to sit on it. And, I've tended to learn that you have to invest back in your business. It's the money equals time perspective, and understanding, mm-hmm. Hey, when I started hiring on employees and doing that stuff, you know, when I first started out, I was looking at it as an expense, not as an investment into the business. And so I would say that if I had that mindset up front of understanding the expenses that go out and then looking at those as more of an investment towards the growth of the business, mm-hmm. I think that I would have probably moved a little bit faster than I am now, all because of that mindset shift.
That's really good advice. I really like that. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today. It's been really great chatting with you today, Zach.
Well, thank you. I appreciated being on.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.